Hello and welcome to Chatterbox, the talking news for Norwich. This is edition number 2363, and it was recorded on Thursday the 19th of February 2026. Welcome from me, Paul Henderson, and today I am joined by Sarah Wingate-Gray. Today we have our usual mix of items, news from the city, some letters to the evening news, two features which will be read by Robin Quine, and this month's edition of Just Talk. Here's Alison to tell us more.
Hello, I'm Alison Aplin, and I'm here to tell you that coming up immediately after this week's Chatterbox is the February edition of Just Talk. This month we're going to be starting our series about village signs in our region. If you live in or around Acle, you'll be interested in this. We're continuing our exploration of Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals with the story behind South Pacific, and continuing our series on famous Norfolk people, as well as hearing from the ever-popular Gal Tina and David Clayton. Oh yes, and don't forget the quiz. So don't go away, just stay tuned for February's Just Talk at the end of this edition of Chatterbox.
Thank you, Alison, and hello everyone. We send a warm welcome to one new listener this week. Hello and welcome, Roberta Viner from Norwich. We hope you enjoy the programme.
We begin our first set of news items with a pub that has raised thousands of pounds for charity. A Norwich pub has raised more than £40,000 for a string of local charities, including organisations helping the homeless and children of asylum seekers. The Garden House in Norwich's Golden Triangle has hosted quiz nights, raffles, food and toy drives, and head shaves to raise the tally over the past 12 months. The pub, part of the Craft Union Pub Company, has supported charities including St Martin's Housing Trust, homelessness charities in Norwich and Great Yarmouth, Only a Pavement Away, food banks, Harford Manor Special Needs School, and asylum seeker children supported by Norfolk County Council. The pub, which is run by Jonathan and Tanya Childs, has also been a lifeline for the Ukrainian community in Norwich, providing food and supplies, including Christmas presents and Easter eggs for children whose family have fled the war.
10 films from University of East Anglia graduates have been shortlisted for the Royal Television Society East Student Awards. The films, produced by 7 graduates of the Broadcast and Multimedia Journalism course, span 5 categories, including journalism, factual, camera work, sound, and writing. Cameron Noble, one of the nominees, said, "It's really exciting. One of the best things about awards are the networking opportunities, the chance to meet with other students and people from the industry." Mr. Noble's shortlisted documentary, Benji and Balu, tells the story of a rescue mission in Azerbaijan and the efforts to relocate 2 brown bears to the UK. The film has already won Best TV Documentary at the Broadcast Journalism Training Council, BJTC, awards. Another nominee, Maddie McNiven, was recognised in the camera work category for her piece on efforts to help an elderly man living in an uninhabitable caravan in Norfolk. She said, "It's a nice feeling when something that you've put a lot of time and effort into is liked and recognised." The winners will be announced in March.
We've all been there, catching a whiff of someone's honking dinner on your train home from work. It may sometimes feel like these sorts of things should be banned, and some rail companies do have policies that outlaw certain foods. But are these policies in place on trains in and out of Norwich? East Midlands Railway, which operates the route between Norwich and Liverpool, has no ban in place. A spokesman for the company confirmed that no foods are banned on board their services. Meanwhile, Greater Anglia has no hard and fast policy on specific foods, but passengers are reminded to be considerate of others. A spokeswoman said, for the train opera said, "Passengers can bring their own food and drink to consume on the train. However, we would ask that they do not leave rubbish behind."
The former president and CEO of Lotus Europe has taken on a new role at a rival British sports car manufacturer. Matt Windell stepped down from his position as Lotus's European head last year, leaving the Norfolk-based company after 8.5 years. He has now joined revived British sports car maker Marcos Motor Company in a senior advisory role. Windell first joined Lotus Engineering in 1998, spending more than 6 years in its design team. He went on to work as principal engineer at Tesla before joining British sports car startup Xenos Cars as head of engineering, later becoming operations director. Windell rejoined Lotus as a chief engineer at the company's Hethel headquarters in 2017, working his way up to managing director of Lotus Cars and European president and CEO. We're thrilled to welcome a new senior member to Marcos Motor Company as a key advisor, Matt Windell, Marcos Motor Company said in its LinkedIn announcement this week.
The boss running a tea room in the city has dedicated the business's success over the last 8 months to its staff. James Stone, who opened Bridgestones of Thorpes and Andrew in June last year, has hit the ground running to offer customers more than just an afternoon tea. The cafe, which is located at the former Buck Pub on Yarmouth Road, is the second business under the Bridgestones name and is owned by Mr. Stone. His fiancée, Miss Sams, who helps run the business, said they have been really happy with how the bistro has been doing since it opened its doors. She said, "All credit goes to the team we've got here. They're the ones who keep it going from day to day." In addition to the delicious cakes and treats available, the cafe also caters for lunches and hosts various family-friendly evenings.
Officials at City Hall have finally pulled their finger out and cleaned up the city's largest war memorial after this newspaper revealed it had fallen into a grotty state. Earlier, city folk called the memorial's condition as disrespectful to those who had sacrificed their lives across two world wars. But after pressure from this newspaper, work has been underway this week to bring it back into an admirable condition, despite the council saying it would not be until early spring once the weather has improved, when the statue would be getting a hose down. The sparkling cenotaph is not the only noticeable difference at the top of the market. Norwich City Council has also sent out contractors to relay the grass in the Moore Memorial Gardens, which has also had a spruce up. Tape remains in place to keep people off the grass while it continues to set. However, the council still has to contend with the market's feathered fiends, who seem to have made themselves comfortable on the new turf.